We have wreaths around the sanctuary. Garland is everywhere. We have a nativity. We have a creche. Everywhere you look, there are symbols of our faith. And it's interesting because all of a sudden we change seasons, and occasionally we'll change the color of the tablecloth or the paraments that go on the pulpit. But even more so, they herald a change in our hearts. And today we've heard already that this first Sunday of Advent, the theme is hope. And so I have kind of an overhead question for us to start off with. As we gather here this Sunday, what is your hope? Think deeply. You know, it's beyond just the Schwinn bicycle I wanted when I was 10 years old. It's a little more deeper than that. What is it that you really hope for this season? I know that in Jeremiah, they were talking about the hope of the fulfillment of the promise of a Savior. That would come to them. Jeremiah is writing during the time when God's people are in exile in Babylon. And they are oppressed, they are away from their homes, and they don't know where their salvation will come from. So he's preaching into this. But there has to be a backstory here. There has to be an original promise that they are hanging their hat on, that they are hoping for fulfillment. It's not just that they make up the idea of a Savior. They're praying for the fulfillment of this. Well, they knew where it came from, and it comes to us in the second chapter of Samuel, verse 7. There's a conversation going on between King David and his advisor, his royal priest, Nathan. Nathan was also a prophet. And hear these words. God says, "Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly was the case, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I shall punish him with a rod such as mortals use, with blows inflicted by human beings. But I will not take my steadfast love from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with these words and with all of this vision, Nathan spoke to David." So now you know the rest of the story. This is the promise. This is what is in the hearts of those who are in exile. This is what they were yearning for with all of their heart and their life. So I ask again, what do you hope for today? It's often confusing about whether the season of Advent is a time where we're preparing for the birth of a child over 2,000 years ago. Charles Wesley's hymn that we sang, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." Did you think about what are we saying there? Are we singing "Come to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago"? Or are we singing "Come Jesus today"? Come in fulfillment of that promise that you made to us that you will come again. We oftentimes get focused solely on the past without understanding that the fulfillment of Nathan's oracle, his prophecy to David, took place in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And we celebrate the fulfillment of that promise in hope that Jesus will come again in fulfillment of his promise. See how that works? We look to the past to have faith in the promise of the future. Actually, Advent, or Adventus in Latin, means coming or arrival. And it prompts us each day this month to reflect more upon God made flesh. It's interesting that the idea of needing a season of preparation, a season of focusing away from the world and back onto the kingdom of God, needs to take place. And it started as early as about 270 years after Jesus' death at the Council of Sargasso, where they said, we need to set aside a time of penitence, of preparation. You know, there are in the church year, there are two seasons of penitence, right? Advent and Lent. Seasons where we prepare our hearts, where we encounter the depths of ourselves and meet the depths of God. And we are entering into that period now. If you look outside, if you see the world and you see the garland and you see all the other different symbols of the holidays, let them be for us a reminder of this preparation for the incarnation of Jesus. One of those we've already celebrated today with the Miller family, thank you, was the Advent wreath. And many of us have seen these, we've experienced them, we may have had the opportunity to light some of the candles. But perhaps we haven't gone deeper into the symbology, and I'd like to take a moment to do that this morning. It's a wreath of evergreen, which symbolizes everlasting life in the midst of winter and death. The evergreen doesn't lose its leaves. It stays full, regardless of the seasons. It's shaped in a perfect circle to remind us of the eternity and unbroken love of our God. There are four candles, three of which are blue or purple, and one which is rose-colored or pink. The pink one is usually lit on the third Sunday to symbolize the theme of joy. And of course, there's the white candle in the middle, and that symbolizes for us the Christ candle, the light of Christ, which shines forth through all the other themes of our preparation and journey. This actually became a focus within the church, this Advent wreath, during the time of Martin Luther, when there was a need to be able to move away from a strict observance into a rather participative idea of how we encounter the holiday season. So it was not unusual to find something like this in every home, where candles were the form of light, and where they would each week add a new light to what was on their table. And we do it, of course, weekly here in church, but perhaps you have one of these at home as well, that you can use as a symbol of the growing understanding and depth of love that we have for the incarnated one and that God has for us as well. Each of these candles has its own theme. We've talked about today, the first candle is lit for hope, and it's also called the prophet's candle. The prophets of the Old Testament, especially Isaiah, waited in hope for the Messiah's arrival. The second candle is lit for love and faith and is called the Bethlehem candle. Micah foretold that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, which also was the birthplace of King David. The third candle is for joy and is called the Shepherd's candle. To the shepherd's great joy, the angels announced that Jesus came for all people, the humble people like them. And the fourth candle is the peace candle, and it's also called the angel candle. The angels announced that Jesus came to bring peace. He came to bring people close to God and to each other again. Our symbols matter, but we have to know what they refer us to, what they point us toward, for us to truly appreciate the meaning behind them. During this season of Advent, as we go deeper and deeper into our faith and deeper into our understanding of the incarnation of Jesus, which is the greatest miracle ever given to humankind, we're going to continue to reflect upon the symbols that we have for our faith this season. And as you encounter symbols in the world, oftentimes it's easy to say, well, that's just secular. Look deeper. Look deeper. Find the faith meaning inside of them. As you came in today, you saw a Christmas tree, beautiful Christmas tree decorated out here, right, Kim? That is beautiful. Thank you. But many people might say, well, and your team, I understand. But thank you for your humility. People might say, why a Christmas tree? We're going to talk about what a Chrismon tree is. And next year, we're going to have an opportunity to build our Chrismon tree. So we are going to start allowing these symbols to enrich our spiritual journey. And maybe it will give us a way to engage with our community, with those around us as well, as we share the deeper meaning of what they really mean. So I go back and ask the question, what is it that you hope for this Advent season? Ponder that this week. Go deeper in your prayer life. And Christmas will be a feast, a festival, a celebration like you've never experienced before. Amen. Amen.